The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
It is a huge victory for the pro-life movement. It's a victory for former President Donald Trump. You know, a lot of presidents promised to put a pro-life majority on the court. He succeeded.
No point in saying good morning, because it certainly is not one.
This court! Abort this court! Abort this court! Jenny Thomason, an insurrectionist! Jenny Thomason, an insurrectionist!
This from earlier this morning. Happening now, in fact. The news is unfolding as we speak. The Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade. Of course, if you've been paying attention over the last few months, you knew that this was coming. We'll talk a little bit about the timeline here in just a second. But what a smack! Yet another smackdown for the radical left. This follows the Supreme's ruling yesterday, overturning this law in New York that prevented you from from carrying a firearm, a constitutional right. So on the one hand, you've got the Supreme Court ruling that, look, you have a constitutional right to carry a firearm with you, but there's no constitutional right for you to have an abortion. We'll leave that for the states to decide. We'll leave that for democracy, basically. This all happening just in the past 24 hours or so. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We're coming to you the last show of the week. Hard to believe it's already Friday. So much to get to on today's show. Of course, we provide the live video stream of this show at our very own website, thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet, of course, the Trumpet magazine that gives you tomorrow's news today. That's a lot of what we're going to be talking about today. The fact that you get these headlines first at the Trumpet, of course, when Amy Coney Barrett came on the scene in 2020 after the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. We had a lot to say about that in messages. We had a lot to write about that at thetrumpet.com and in the Trumpet magazine. And so here we are today, something that happens that many people thought would never happen, the overturn of Roe v. Wade. And of course, this has the left, the radical left, furious. And we'll see what happens as the night wears on, or the afternoon and evening wears on. Coming into the weekend, there's some critics that are saying the Supreme Court should have at least waited until Monday. This just gives the protesters an opportunity to disrupt some things or destroy things, as they often do on the radical left, on through the weekend, Saturday and Sunday and so on. But you know what's interesting about this timeline? We've discussed already the leak, the unprecedented leak coming out of the Supreme Court. This was back when the movie 2000 Mules came out. I forget which month that was in, March or April. In any event, the leak coincides exactly with this movie 2000 Mules. And so, as we covered, I mean, it was planned. Barack Obama working behind the scenes. This is when it's supposed to come out, and it's going to have a double benefit, don't you know? It'll cover up any news about Dinesh D'Souza's film, 2000 Mules, and it'll stir up protests, and, well, maybe we can take to the streets and intimidate Brett Kavanaugh and others on the court into submission, to make sure that they don't dare come out with this ruling. Well, there was the death threat on Brett Kavanaugh, and now all of these Supreme Court justices, they've got to have armed security 24/7. But for the most part, I mean, there have been a few bombings here and there, and it's not like that's not serious. It certainly is. Some attacks on on these pro-lifers in certain places across the country. But for the most part, I mean, you've got the pro-lifers outnumber those who are in favor of killing little unborn babies. You can see that in the crowds just surrounding the Supreme Court, the opening bit of that montage there. Of course, there's going to be those that are just filled with venomous hatred. We know this. They're going to try to stir up rage. There's this one left-wing outfit that's calling for some kind of widespread protest tonight. But for the most part, those in favor of life, those in favor of promoting and preserving physical life, they outnumber the others, at least outside the Supreme Court. So they plan for this leak, the protests that ensue a couple of months ago. They weren't really that big. And then in recent days, of course, you've got all of the hoopla over this Hollywood-produced January 6 hearing. Completely lopsided, as I've covered. No Republicans allowed. Nobody there to even defend Donald Trump. It's just a narrative established by the communist left. And, of course, it's been a big flop, as I've discussed with you. People aren't tuning in. And yet you'd never know it, listening to some of these committee members, listening to the talking heads on MSNBC or CNN. Well, you'd think the whole country was just riveted by this testimony. We'll get to some of that a little bit later as well. But they're tuning that out, and to the extent that people were actually paying attention to it, now you have this. I mean, just 2 seconds ago, you had all the talking heads just absolutely exploding. Their heads were exploding over this Supreme Court decision yesterday to support the Second Amendment. And that, I mean, that seems like ancient history at the moment. Because now you've got Roe v. Wade. Something, again, that we knew was coming. It's as if they preempted themselves. And we've noted how that everything the radical left is attempting to do, it's all backfiring. Well, you think people are going to have any, those that had any concern in the sham January 6th circus hearing, you think they're going to be paying attention to that now? I mean, we've got Roe v. Wade. We've got to take to the streets. We're enraged. What is their plan exactly? We're not that many weeks away from the midterm elections. And there have been some rumblings, some news releases indicating that the Democrats, they do have some kind of a plan to try to steal as many votes as they can, just like they did 2 years ago. We'll see how that plays out. But judging by so many of these other things, it just seems like everything is backfiring right now, one loss after another. You know what's interesting here with respect to Bible prophecy, with respect to tomorrow's news today? Just yesterday, we posted the new and expanded version of this book. It's a little booklet here, but it's now a book of almost 200 pages. Just yesterday, we posted this at our website. Just last night, my father writes this trumpet brief to announce this fact. And look at what's happening in the world. Look at what's happening in Manasseh, the United States of America. In the news stack today from Richard coming over from the UK, you have this story about Prince William. Or no, I think it's Prince Charles. He's out there basically telling these Commonwealth nations, yeah, you want to sever all the ties to the throne? That's great. I mean, times are changing. If you need to move on from the queen, go for it. How's that for the old stone of destiny, the old throne of David? They're celebrating. They're celebrating the breakup of what once was a united kingdom, Great Britain. And now you've got a prince right there near to that throne, that old throne, celebrating the fact that, you know, nations don't want to have any part of it. If it's written into our Constitution, you know, the queen is this and this and this, let's just strike that. Let's just delete it. Why not? I mean, this is the spirit of the age. Why not blot it out? You're familiar. You will be. If you aren't familiar, you study this new booklet. It'll be in print in early August. But if you want to start reading it now, It's at our website, thetrumpet.com. Thetrumpet.com. Pow, I started reading it last evening. It's a powerful message. And it's right up to date. It takes you right through the first two terms of Barack Obama coming in the spirit of Antiochus, vowing to fundamentally transform the United States of America. And then God using Donald Trump to save America temporarily. And then now, of course, we have the illegitimate president, the one that stole the election with Barack Obama's direction and help. All of these Democrats on, they're going after anyone now, not just the January 6th protesters. If you contested the election, if you look at this case, Jeff Clark, I think his name is, we'll get to it later on. The FBI raiding his house because he worked in the DOJ under the administration of Donald Trump. And he had the temerity of saying, you know what, we should investigate election fraud. He had his house raided yesterday. He was waltzed out into the street in his pajamas. Of course, it has to be at the break of day. It's always early morning hours. Get him out of bed. Arrest him. Put him in chains if you have to. Put him in handcuffs, leg stocks, whatever you have to humiliate them. They did it to someone else, a Republican in Nevada. The DOJ, the FBI, fully, completely weaponized. It's happening right before our eyes. Do you think America's not under attack? Look at what's happening, even as this booklet is released, even as it's posted on our website. And then today, Roe v. Wade overturned. We'll see what happens, as I say. As this weekend unfolds, my father in his trumpet brief last night, he said American politics feel surreal. The nominal leader of the world's superpower is an elderly career politician whom one-third of voters believe took office through election fraud and whom many realize is not in control of his own administration. A third of the nation? I think it's more than that, actually. But that's tens of millions of people. So when Adam Kinzinger gets up in the January 6th committee and says, how dare Donald Trump investigate election fraud? Half the nation thinks it was stolen. Where is this leading? It's important for you to wrap your mind around that. Each side, they're digging in their heels. They certainly are. Says, but this government is not aimless. It's conducting a focused attack on every principle, tradition, institution, and virtue that has made America historically exceptional. This is from my father's trumpet brief. Last night, he says, it is inviting illegal immigration, sabotaging energy production, wrecking the dollar, demoralizing the military, igniting racial hatred, encouraging amorality, erecting tyranny, and demolishing Americans' rights and freedoms. America is not being conquered by a foreign enemy, yet it's being strangled to death by its own leaders. You see, this is all part of the fundamental transformation. This is what Barack Obama wanted from the very beginning. Destroy it, top to bottom. And then in the ashes of all that destruction and desolation, we'll rebuild our communist utopia. This is what they want. The destruction of the dollar, wide open borders, the war against energy production at home. Of course, they want all of it. They want inflation. They want energy costs to skyrocket. It furthers their political purposes and aims. Of course it does. Only God can stop this. Only God can intervene and save. You keep in mind, and again, we were right on this. In the fall of 2020, amid all of the campaigning for the election, at least on one side, the other side was in the basement, but leave that aside. Amid all of that, you've got Amy, you've got the sudden death. Well, she was old, of course, but you've got the death, the unexpected death, let's put it that way, of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And then the Trump administration in those final days. Rushing through Amy Coney Barrett, the first Supreme Court justice to just come out openly and say, yeah, I'm for overturning Roe v. Wade. She got in there miraculously. And my father wondered at the time if the Supreme Court was going to be involving itself in the fraudulent election at some point. Hasn't happened to this point. Should have. But it still could. My father, just yesterday, we were discussing this. He wanted to make a tweak on the cover of it. You saw the new cover just there with the posting of this booklet last night. And he was talking about how that as this comes out this summer, I mean, we're going to see some explosive world events. And then we post it that evening, just last night. And look at what we wake up to this morning. All over the news. Look at the Drudge headline, if you will. I mean, this is explosive, so say the talking heads. And it is huge. I mean, to overturn a ruling from 1972 or 73, a ruling that basically said, yeah, have an abortion. It's your constitutional right. And finally, at least five justices wake up and say, you know, that's not embedded in the Constitution. If New York State wants to do it or California wants to do it, fine, put it to the voters. That's really all that this ruling is, isn't it? It's endorsing democracy. And yet you'll hear the talking heads go on and on and on today. How that the Supreme Court, they're not listening to the people. This exactly is listening to the people because it lets the people decide, Whoopi Goldberg. It lets the people decide. It lets the people weigh in. Not nine unelected Supreme Court justices from the 1970s basically saying, yes, it's constitutionally allowed. Everyone should be able to get an abortion. Finally, there's at least five with enough courage to say, you know what, that's not constitutional. It's nowhere in the Constitution. If the states want to do it, fine, go ahead. Put it to a vote. And then all these people on the January 6th hearing, Kinzinger going on and on about Trump was going to investigate the Italy connection, the machines that might have. This shows how willing Trump was to try to remain in power. Well, newsflash, Adam, he didn't remain in power. He left peacefully the day the fake fraudulent president came into the White House. That's right. Now, he didn't step aside without protest. He still protests the election, and he should. 2,000 mules. That's just the tip of the iceberg. Of course they stole it. Why, if they didn't steal it, why are they just trigger happy now trying to go after people that would dare suggest, like Jeff Clark, that would dare suggest, you know, there was fraud here. They're putting people like that now in jail. These are not the actions of people that are secure in their position that, you know what, we won the election fair and square. Joe Biden's the most popular president in the history of the United States. And he got 81 million votes. They know that didn't happen. They know that, and it touches a raw nerve for the other side to suggest that it didn't happen and that it was fraudulent. And so to try to shut them up, to try to blot them out, you got to put them in jail. America's under attack. And there, my father brings out in the introduction to the booklet that there's more and more talking heads now awakening to this fact. It's happening. He writes in the Trumpet brief last night, across the globe, people are asking, what has happened to the United States of America, the greatest, wealthiest, most powerful nation in the world, has suddenly become radicalized, divided, and weak, fundamentally transformed. Who can deny this? Who can deny this? That the United States has been fundamentally transformed. He goes on in this Trumpet brief to talk about what he talks about in America Under Attack. And this was brought out in the original version back in 2013 as well. That reporter, Michael Hastings, I think was his name, who openly admitted, yeah, you know what, when reporters have exchanges with Barack Obama, I've seen it, I've done it, said Hastings. They swoon. Yeah, they just,
they don't know how to react. They don't know how to act around. They worship him. He's like a god.
Who can forget Chris Matthews and the tingle that ran up his leg when he heard Barack Obama speak? These people are insane. These people are they've come under the control and sway of spirit beings. Read Ephesians 6 and verse 12. The prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. Satan is the god of this world. Gods are worshipped. Can it really be possible that Satan is being worshipped in our world today? 2 Corinthians 4, 4 says he's the god of this world. And Revelation 12, 9 says he's deceived the whole world. How many people are worshiping the devil and they don't even know it? Now, added to that, as you get into Appendix B in the New America Under Attack, you learn that Satan and his demons have been cast down to this earth. They attempted yet again in 1986 to overthrow God. You see, they're all about government upheaval, overturning governments, world instability. This is Satan's forte. I mean, this is his modus operandi. Go and attack them at the very... We saw it with spiritual Israel, the church. Attack them at the very top. We witnessed it, so many of us. 1986, Herbert Armstrong dies. And where did Satan go? You have it all laid out there in Revelation 12. He went after spiritual Israel first. He was trying to blot out even the name of spiritual Israel. But God wouldn't let it happen. Even though this little church, the Philadelphia Church of God, started with nothing, $80, two fired ministers, no-name ministers, by the way. That was in 1990, well, at the end of 1989, and then Malachi's message comes out. Just a manuscript form, that's all that they could afford, my father and John Amos. That's all that they could afford back then, just a manuscript, copies at Kinko's, 1,000 copies in that first print run. That was in 1990, and it continued right through to today. And look at the work of God today. You can see some imagery of that in our new opening with this program. Just the first few seconds of this show. See the aerial shots of God's house? It's awesome what God has done. Now, it's just a little flock, to be sure. Just 5,000 plus people scattered around the world contributing to this work. Well, there's others too, co-workers and donors that certainly contribute from time to time financially. But for the most part, it's just a small band of faithful warriors sending in their tithes, their donations, so that booklets like these can go out to you and to a wider audience. I mean, this explains it all, what's happening in our nation, and there's no other book like this, not even remotely close to it. I hope that you'll take the time this weekend to start reading, even if it's online or if you have to, you know, run out your stock of paper at home to print all the pages off. Whatever it takes, you can get a lead up or a heads up on the competition, so to speak. And read it before we actually get the print version that we're going to take with us around the country to a new round of personal appearance campaigns. That's exciting to think about because the United States needs this message. People that hear this program or people, frankly, that know nothing about this program, they need answers. What is happening in the United States? As my father says, across the globe, people are asking what has happened to the United States of America. What has happened? The greatest, wealthiest, most powerful nation in the world has suddenly become radicalized, divided, and weak, fundamentally transformed. People need to know why. They need to know why. As I say, my father goes into Barack Obama's history, his first two terms. Now he's experiencing his third term in office. And you've got Joe Biden out front as the puppet on a string. My father said last night, there's a reason why this man, Barack Obama, has this effect. There's a reason why his will is so destructive. It's a reason that even he does not understand. Only the Bible shows this reason. This crisis in America is actually prophesied. My father said, the Bible describes it as bitter affliction. America under attack unmasks the dangerous spirit causing this affliction. It shows the crucial role that Donald Trump is fulfilling in confronting this attack, and it provides perspective in the presidency of Joe Biden, who is effectively a front man for the third Obama term. When we come back, we'll get into this and much more in the second segment of the Trumpet Daily. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
I just think we're living in a era that I don't recognize, and increasingly, Tucker, I don't recognize the country anymore with these kinds of Stasi-like things happening.
Yeah, this is Stalinist. At some point, somebody's going to fight back, and it's going to get super ugly. I pray that doesn't happen, but I think it probably will.
He's right. It will happen. Ezekiel 4 and 5 prophesy of this. At some point, the other side's going to put their foot down and say, enough. That's Jeff Clark there at the right of the screen. He worked at the DOJ under Donald Trump. And as I say, he simply looked into the 2020 presidential election. He had discussions with the president of the United States about the fraudulent election. He looked into it, and now he faces this. The FBI raids his home yesterday morning, brings him out in the street in his pajamas. How dare you question the results of the 2020 election? As if Democrats have never done that. We'll get to a montage later if we have time. What is happening in the United States of America? As I read to you just a moment ago in the first segment, this is from the Trumpet Brief last night. Across the globe, people are asking, what has happened? What has happened to the United States of America? What is going on? This sham committee, all Democrats, all radical communists, they bring up Jeff Clark yesterday in their hearing, and it just coincides perfectly with the FBI raid on his house. Isn't that amazing? He's brought up in the January 6th hearing, and all of these self-righteous, sanctimonious Democrats who pretend that they would never, ever question the integrity of an election in the United States. That's all they've done. See 2000, you know, Bush versus Gore. See 2016. That's all they ever do. They never accept the results of an election that doesn't go their way. Ask Stacey Abrams about that. Here's Jeff Clark describing what happened yesterday morning at his house. Clip 2.
Yesterday at about just before 7 a.m., there was loud banging at my door, insistent banging. So I just rushed down as fast as I could.
I quickly figured out, you know, that there were agents there. I opened the door and asked for the courtesy to be able to put some pants on, and was told, no, you got to come outside. So I came outside. They swept the house. Eventually, they let me go back inside and put the pants on. But then, you know, by my count at one point, 12 agents and two Fairfax County police officers went into my house, searched it for 3.5 hours. They took all of the electronics from my house.
So Peter Strzok, who worked at the FBI, is effectively a criminal, in my view, never really punished, sent out a tweet today mocking you and gloating over the fact that the Biden administration stole your cell phone and will now be reading all of your private messages. I mean, at what point can we say the Department of Justice, where you once served, is a political instrument? It's completely out of control.
That's Jeff Clark yesterday on Tucker's show talking about what happened to him earlier in the morning. And then there's Tucker pointing out Peter Strzok, you know, the lovebird who spied on Donald Trump. He's gloating. He's tweeting out, funny, funny, ha ha, they got all of your electronics equipment. And now they can go through your text messages. They did it with another prominent Republican in Nevada. Her name's Michelle or Mikhail McDonald, unless it's misspelled here in my notes. This is from CBS News. FBI agents served a search warrant Wednesday on Nevada's top GOP official, sources told News Now, George Knapp. Agents seized the cell phone and state Republican Chairman Michael McDonald is his name. Michael McDonald, reportedly as part of an investigation into the fake elector scheme initiated at the end of the 2020 presidential election. So this is someone who wanted to send the Republican electors to D.C. just in case Congress decided to overturn or actually investigate the election, which they were planning to do, by the way. On January 6th, before Ray Epps and others instigated the fake insurrection. So this guy, because he sends out the Republican electors, he has his house raided. He has his house raided because he would dare question the results of the 2020 election. Can you believe this? Happening in the United States of America, a fake elector scheme. All that Mike Pence had to do was ignore it, which is actually what he did, because he's a coward, because he wouldn't look into all of the evidence, the stacks and stacks of evidence brought forward by Rudy Giuliani and others, Jenna Ellis. No, can't be looked into. Can't even be debated. Look at what it caused. It caused an insurrection. And then you've got people like Adam Kinzinger on this fake fraudulent committee with big crocodile tears when needed to try to talk about how that this is worse than the Civil War. Imagine not even that long ago, just months ago, you had actual mob violence, destroying businesses, killing people, attacking law enforcement officials. But the only police that matter in the minds of these communists are the Capitol Hill police and the Washington Post police, the Washington D.C. police that helped in January 6th or on the January 6th protest. That's it. Or the FBI, certainly. All those law enforcement officials that were attacked hundreds of days. Jesse Waters had a segment last night. They went after federal buildings in Portland, Oregon for 100 days, attacked police officers, and the Department of Justice is quietly dropping charges against all of those Antifa members that attacked police. They dropped the charges on those guys. Even as they go after, who is it? Jeff Clark? Michael McDonald? Just Republicans who said the election was stolen, or at least that it needed to be investigated. They throw the book at those guys. But Antifa, you throw a boulder or a brick at a police officer, just a slap on the wrist, that's fine. Burn down the federal building if you have to. Destroy Minneapolis. Attack the White House. Burn the church across from the White House. And we'll endorse it. We'll support it, says AOC. Says Nancy Pelosi, says Chuck Schumer. It's unbelievable. The Federalist says here, in the pre-dawn hours of Wednesday morning, more than a dozen federal investigators raided the home of Jeffrey Clark. 14 law enforcement officials. Get out in the street in your pajamas. We got to go through your house, 14 of us, in the next 3 to 4 hours, and gather all of your electronics. Boy, that'd make me nervous. What might some FBI or DOJ agent put on his laptop or put in his phone? These people are corrupt and lawless through and through. America under attack. Fundamental transformation. The Federalist says here, that made Clark a target. Sorry. It says here, former Justice Department official with the Trump administration. Why did they raid his house? Because Clark had the temerity to investigate claims of voter fraud. That's all it takes. You look into voter fraud, and you need to be put in jail. How far removed are they from knocking on Donald Trump's door? That's the ultimate target, as I've covered before. That's who they want in jail. Says here, this should come as no surprise since the entire raison d'etre, I think is how you say that, of the January 6th committee is to smear anyone who questioned the outcome of the election or raised concerns about it, its unprecedented irregularities, as a coup plotter responsible for the January 6th insurrection. You see, anybody that would dare question the outcome of the election, they need to be thrown in jail. Listen to this montage. This is 90 seconds of a 30-minute video of this. In other words, we just took a little tiny sliver of this montage. This is clip 4.
How can you win with Russian interference, though?
That's the real thing.
That's what I'm scared about in 2020.
But rightly.
Because I think he's an illegitimate president that didn't really win. So how do you, you know, fight against that in 2020?
You are absolutely right.
He is an illegitimate president in my mind.
Would you be my vice presidential candidate? Folks, look, I absolutely agree.
Trump didn't actually win the election in 2016. He lost the election. And he was put in office because the Russians interfered.
Trump knows he's an illegitimate president.
The president-elect, although legally elected, is not legitimate.
I don't see this president-elect as a legitimate president.
You said you believe that Russia's interference altered the outcome of the election.
I do. We have a president who, if in fact it is proven, has been assisted by the Russians and may in fact not be a legitimate president.
The one thing that Trump is fearful of when it comes to his being president is that finally we will see how illegitimate his victory actually was.
I have an objection.
I object to the 15 votes from the state of North Carolina.
I object because people are horrified.
He's an illegitimate president.
Do you believe Trump is a legitimate president?
What I believe is that there's no question that the outcome of this election was affected by the Russian interference.
There absolutely is a cloud of illegitimacy.
So that legitimacy is in question, yes.
So that was a very tainted election. And in that sense, it's illegitimate.
Why do you think the president is going to such great lengths to essentially prove that he beat you?
Because he knows he didn't. He knows he's an illegitimate president.
Did any of them have their homes raided at pre-dawn hours? Did any of them have 14 law enforcement officials go through their house or apartment for 4 hours to secure all of their electronic devices? They're all insurrectionists by their own definition. They're all insurrectionists. They all question the results of the 2016 election. And they did it before that in the year 2000. Go back and look in. I'm old enough to remember. They would not let it go. Even after the Supreme Court squashed it then, I'm talking about 2000. They still, many of them, still, Al Gore, you add a bunch of others to the list. George W. Bush, illegitimate. And of course, Donald Trump, illegitimate. Barack Obama, legitimate. Joe Biden, legitimate. You question it, you're in jail. You're going to jail. Why, as I said earlier, if they're so secure in their position that it was secure, then why would they be beating down the doors of a former DOJ official that just looked into it? That's it? That's all that it takes? Listen to this. This is Adam Kinzinger yesterday at the January 6th hearing. Now, he you listen to this exchange. He thinks that he's got a big bombshell here. He thinks that this is the kind of thing that really should result in Donald Trump going to jail. Listen to this exchange yesterday from the sham January 6th hearing, clip 5.
Mr. Donahue, did you receive a follow-up call from a Department of Defense official about this conspiracy?
I received a telephone call from Kash Patel, who I know was a DOD official at that time, worked for, Acting Secretary of Defense Miller, and he didn't know much about it. He basically said, do you know anything about this Italy thing and what this is all about? And I informed him that the Chief of Staff had raised the issue with us in his office on December 29th. That we had looked into it a little bit. We had run the name that was provided to us by the Chief of Staff. The allegation was that he had been exfiltrating data from his company. He was either an employee or a contractor of that company, and he was in custody, that the whole thing was very, very murky at best, and the video was absurd.
And despite the absurdity of that conspiracy theory, we learned that Mr. Meadows discussed it frequently in the White House. And Mr. Meadows didn't let the matter go. The request went from the Department of Justice to the Secretary of Defense, Christopher Miller. Select Committee confirmed that a call was actually placed by Secretary Miller to the attaché in Italy to investigate the claim that Italian satellites were switching votes from Trump to Biden. This is one of the best examples of the lengths to which the President Trump would go to stay in power.
Yeah, and he didn't, did he? He didn't stay in power. The DOJ investigated the claim that votes might have been switched by machines in Italy? Okay, now what? That's illegal? How compare the votes switched in Italy with Trump-Russia collusion, a complete and total hoax and fraud from the beginning, that led to an investigation triggered by Barack Obama. Remember, they found out that the Russians not only meddled, they influenced it in the direction of Donald Trump. They helped Donald Trump win. That's Barack Obama's DOJ and FBI before Obama left office in January of 2017. He unleashed John Brennan, James Comey, Andy McCabe, and all the rest. Peter Strzok, you know, the one making fun of Jeff Clark now. He unleashed all of them on Donald Trump, and they carried on with their war against Trump, the other side, the Republicans, relentlessly, all through the Trump years. And it was completely bogus from the very beginning, a hoax. And here's Kinzinger yesterday. He thinks he's got the big reveal of the January 6th committee. He thinks he's exposed. Look at what he actually had a discussion with someone at the DOJ, with the Secretary of Defense, about looking into foul play from connections in Italy. What's wrong with that? And furthermore, look at the way the DOJ and the Secretary of Defense or the Secretary of State, all those operations, look at the way they reacted when Donald Trump peacefully left office January 20th, 2021. They applauded it. Bill Barr, I mean, he's leading the way as the cheerleader in chief. Yeah, Donald Trump suggested oh, 2,000 mules. I mean, come on. It's a joke. It's a joke. Yeah, we didn't really look into any. You can't even trust the geo-tracking technology. None of them carried out Donald Trump's wishes. They were all rebels. You go back and look at the history. Look at what they were doing at the State Department, in the Pentagon. You had Nancy Pelosi calling people up over there saying, hey, you better secure the nuclear weapons. You never know what Donald Trump might do in those last few weeks. And then there's Kinzinger. Look at what he was willing to do to try to stay in power. What, you mean investigate investigate election fraud, which half the country believe, to this day believes that it happened? My father wrote, this is from the Trumpet brief that went out last night. Across the globe, people are asking, what has happened to the United States of America? What's happened to America? You look at what Joe Biden, the fake president, what he's presided over. This is from Victor Davis Hanson at Zero Hedge. He says, unlike Trump's administration, the Trump administration's successful 4 years, Biden's tenure has been an utter disaster. Who can deny this? Who can deny this? I saw this one black American on a clip from, I think he's from D.C. Trump said, when Biden gets in there, gas prices are going to double. Well, that's happened. People know. That's why minorities are flocking to Republicans. That's why this Republican won in that district, that Democrat district, dark blue in South Texas. It says here, Biden's tenure has been an utter disaster. There are no policy offsets to the personal liabilities and unpopularity of Biden himself. Biden's liabilities transcend his physical infirmities, his advanced age, and his seeming geometric rather than arithmetic rate of mental decline. Walking back Biden's absurdities has become the nonstop, tiresome task of many on the left. As they face a midterm disaster in November, many no longer see any compensating reasons not to drop Biden. As I said at the top of the show, you see, everything is backfiring. He was the perfect puppet. He had the best chance to compete with Donald Trump in 2000. Even still, they tucked him in the basement. But he's the perfect puppet. He's the perfect fall guy. He's the perfect one to pile the blame on. And that's what they're doing. They're already maneuvering to get him out of the way for 2024. I mean, we can't have another disaster like this in office. What does Obama want us to do here? I mean, we swoon before Obama. Whatever Obama comes up with, we'll go with it. You know, all of this and more, it's going to be discussed at length in the new book, 200 pages. America Under Attack, posted at our website just last night. And look at what's happening in your world just this week. What a summer this is going to end up being. It says here, when the Republicans take the House of Representatives in 2022, there will be nonstop investigations of Hunter Biden's alleged tax avoidances, his possibly illegal work as an unregistered foreign agent, and Joe Biden's untaxed compensation he received from the Biden lobbying consortium. See, it's the Biden crime family. And the media, because they're the media, they've covered all this up. They covered up the Hunter Biden laptop, if you can believe it, for 18 months. And then they come out quietly and say, it actually was Hunter's. It wasn't a communist. Adam Kinzinger, are you listening? The Hunter laptop actually wasn't a Russian plant. It actually wasn't Russian misinformation. It was just Hunter's laptop. It was just the Biden family's computer that exposed all their corruption, including the big guy. And you've got others like Tony Bobulinski. Other witnesses have come forward. But no. The communists and the media, they've blotted that out. Social media, big tech, they blotted that out. The Democrats, they blot that out. It says here, in Biden's world, there were no COVID vaccinations until he took the oath of office. Russian President Vladimir Putin or the oil companies or the refiners or Trump are responsible for the historic crippling gasoline price hikes he caused by canceling drilling and pipeline projects. Biden claims his negative growth, hyperinflation economy is not disastrous, but strong. Strong. We've played the clips before. Yeah, it's great. It's better than ever. Hanson says the point is not just the asymmetrical treatment that has shielded Biden's cognitive decline, his rude outbursts, his outrageous racial slurs, and bizarre sexual aggressiveness. Instead, the left now fears Biden's terrible polls and a worse record and the resulting damage he's doing to the Democratic Party. He's not even been in there a year and a half. He's been in there 17 months. And Democrats are not just running from him, they're sprinting. It says, in such a losing political context, Democrats will soon find no further reason to cover for Biden's own serial, abhorrent personal behavior on matters of financial probity, sex, race, and truthfulness. I mean, look at this. The DOJ, by the way, they're going after the person that revealed the story about Ashley Biden's diary. They're going after people that would question the election, and then someone that exposed the diary. The diary says that Ashley was showering with her dad. But the media, the communists in the media, they could not care less. All of the crimes on the laptop, Bill Barr didn't do a thing about it. You remember how they attacked Bill Barr, by the way, when he came on as Trump's AG? And now look at him. I mean, the media love him. You turn on Trump, you're going to be on prime time. You turn on Trump, we'll have a Hollywood producer produce this sham of a theatric performance called the January 6th hearings. And Kinzinger, as if on cue, he will dial up the tears if he has to. All of this is being exposed. Americans see what's happening. But to understand the spirit behind it all, that's where this comes in. There's no book like it. America Under Attack. 200 plus pages, or 200 at least, about 200. Coming back from the printer in early August. Posted just last night at our website, thetrumpet.com. We saw this headline this morning and thought right away, well, it must be just some, you know, obscure blog or conservative, maybe right, ultra right-wing conservative piece somewhere. In fact, it's from the Wall Street Journal. The journal asks, could this be an antebellum age? I mean, are we at the pre-war period in our nation's history, just like in the 1850s, leading up to the Great Civil War? It says here, it's happened before. The American theme now is violence and the promise of violence. Homicide rates are dramatically up, not merely because of the mass shootings, but in the routine, even ritualized weekend carnage of Chicago and other cities. It talks about the assassin that was coming to kill Brett Kavanaugh. And then it says here, Jane's Revenge, a sort of pro-choice Ku Klux Klan, is calling for a night of rage if the courts overturn Roe v. Wade. Well, that happened just this morning. Elderly baby, well, it gives him some of the history there. But listen to this. Sometime in 2012, just think about how dramatic and how swift the change has been in the United States just in the last couple years. It says sometime in 2021, or 2020 or 21, Americans seem to have crossed a psychic barrier and plunged into new territory, a place where things aren't quite as forbidden as they used to be. In all of this, the journal writes, the relationship between fantasy and actuality, and more deeply, between self and country, between Americans and other Americans, has changed, has darkened. The rules, written or unwritten, are different now. The journal says here, the law itself, the principle of law, the authority of law, is sorely tested and feels as if it's being broken. When prosecutors refuse to prosecute real crimes, society is morally underwater. The journal asks, is it too much to say that this moment feels like the 1850s? Well, to understand the biblical perspective on subjects as sobering as this, make sure that you read our new book, America Under Attack, just posted last night at our website, thetrumpet.com. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Send us an email. We love the feedback. td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show. Thank you for joining us all week. And we'll see you next time.